This summer, we are journeying through the book of Genesis, telling the family stories of Abraham and his descendants, and tracing their twisty, turny, very large family tree. In our first encounter with the patriarch back in June, God promises Abraham, at that time still called Abram, that God will make Abraham a great nation and will bless him and make his name great so that he, Abraham, will in turn be a blessing. Abraham and his wife Sarah, at that time still called Sarai, are to leave their homeland behind and go to a different land that God will show them. Whoever blesses them, God will bless, and whoever curses them, God will curse. Through Abraham and his family, God promises to bless all the families of the earth. Now, when taken in the context of the rest of the book of Genesis, this is truly an amazing promise. Not only because Sarah is unable to conceive, and she and Abraham are a little beyond the average childbearing age, of which much more is made later in the story, but also because of who Abraham and his family turn out to be. A group of dysfunctional, flawed, messy, jealous, clever, deceitful, vindictive, stubborn, funny, and occasionally breathtakingly compassionate people. Their stories make up an amazing proto-soap opera, brimming over with drama and humor. Each character has moments of beauty and ugliness, triumph and defeat. And it is through this family, a family exceptional not for their moral goodness, the perfection of their children, or the zip code that they live in, but perhaps exceptional for the fracas that seems to accompany them everywhere, it is through this family that God promises to bless the rest of the world. Now, if we think of the patriarchal history as a soap opera, and why not, let's call it the Oaks at Mamre, for where Abraham and Sarah settle, we enter with today's lesson in season 3 or 4. Central and secondary characters have been established, and a few plot lines have already reached their climax and denouement. Abraham and Sarah have made it to their new land, with a troubling but enriching detour in Egypt, settled at the Oaks of Mamre, received their new names, and made a covenant with God. Hagar and Ishmael have been exiled and rescued by God for the second time. Isaac has been conceived, born, almost but not quite sacrificed. A bunch of not great stuff happened with Lot, his family, and Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaac has grown up, and we have just marked Sarah's death at the ripe old age of 127. Now, today's episode isn't particularly scandalous, but it introduces two new characters who will play important roles in the coming seasons, Rebecca and Laban, her brother. As the episode opens, the camera zooms in on Abraham, venerable in his old age, blessed by the Lord in all things. There is only one piece missing. He wants to see Isaac married. So he sends his servant back to his homeland, Haran, to find Isaac a wife. "But what if she won't come with me to this new land?" the servant asks. "Should I take Isaac to her instead?" "No," says Abraham. "If she is not willing to follow you, you're free from your oath to find Isaac a wife." So taking 10 camels and all kinds of presents, the servant departs and travels back to Haran. When he arrives at the well just outside of town, it is evening. The light is falling, and the women are coming out to draw water. The servant stops, and tired from his travels, wrangling 10 camels and keeping track of all those presents, he rubs the grit out of his eyes and prays, "Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I am standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, please offer your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. This is a very intimate and pointed prayer, a reminder that no prayer is too specific. I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I want to go home, so please, please God, let it be her. And lo, before he finishes, Rebecca appears screen left with a water jar on her shoulder. Their conversation goes just as the servant has wished, and they wind up back at Rebecca's family's home just in time for the servant to tell the whole story of his commissioning journey and arrival to Laban, Rebecca's brother, and to all of us today. Laban and the servant agree that Rebecca will go with him to marry Isaac, and as per the terms of Abraham's oath, she agrees to go too. Her family blesses her, and then away she goes, accompanied by her attendants, towards her future. As the episode ends, she is slipping down from a camel, covering herself with her veil and meeting Isaac for the very first time. He loves her, we are told, and she comforts him in the wake of his mother's death. In the episodes to come, Rebecca's preferences for her son Jacob over her son Esau, for a daughter-in-law from her own family in Haran rather than a woman from the land where she, Isaac, and her sons live, Rebecca's preferences will have great impact on the generations ahead. New knots in the gnarly branches of the family tree. She will become a great matriarch in the seasons to come, embroiled in her own family dramas and schemes. Laban, her brother, will go on to trick his nephew Jacob out of years and years of work and into marrying both of his daughters, Leah and Rachel, instead of just Rachel, when he disguises Leah as Rachel on Jacob's wedding night, stirring up still more family drama for the next generation. In all of this turmoil and drama, I am comforted deeply, because Abraham and his family are all so human. They are all such a mess. And God is still so intimately present in their lives, wrestling with them, saving them, persuading and being persuaded by them. It's an example of God's great and enduring fidelity. And the same is true for us. Our wrestling and saving and persuading may look different than theirs, a challenging conversation, a period of grief, a faithful and loving friend, a moment of grace. But it's there, because this is our family too. We are members of this ancient family tree. It's the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In baptism, we are adopted through Christ into the family of God. We have been grafted onto this very tree. It does not demand our perfection, but instead offers us the witness of our ancestors of faith. It invites us to live with accountability and grace. The two go together. When we enter the family, we commit with God's help to our own covenant, the covenant of baptism. We are accountable to one another and to God, striving always to live out our baptismal call. And through that, we are offered grace beyond measure. When we err or miss the mark, or turn away, which we will, Paul's letter to the Romans is clear on that. And Jesus doesn't shy away from his chiding in Matthew. But throughout it all, God remains ready to take on our burdens and lead us in a different way. The cast of characters in The Oaks at Mamre, our Genesis soap opera for the next 6 weeks, are not always the best role models. But they're not really meant to be. Their stories tell us things about ourselves and about God. So as the plot thickens and we move through the generations these next few weeks, I invite you to reflect. Where are you in the family tree? How is God present in the twists and turns of your own branches? And how might you, members of this ancient and enduring family that God promised would bless the whole earth, how might you be a blessing yourself in the world today? Amen.